challenging words. And something I've majorly been challenged with this week. So today we're looking at why we come to church, what it is to be a member. And what's been interesting is however many times I've sat down to write this preach this morning, nothing. Not that I didn't have anything to say, because... Thanks, Alison. Because as you know, I've got a lot to say. And I knew what God wanted to say this morning, but he just wouldn't go down on paper. And I kept trying, and I kept trying. And then I started getting interruptions every time I sat down. Alison will testify to the fact how many times this week somebody walked. And all good and legitimate things, okay? All good reasons. So yesterday, I'm like, okay, God, this is getting a little bit desperate now. Kind of need to preach tomorrow morning. I know what you want to say, but can you help me out a little bit? Did he? You. Can we take that off a sec, please? Sorry. I realised I asked you for it at the beginning of the preach. I apologise. But this is what's happening this morning. Because I knew, I'm going to ask you a question. Why are you here? Worship God. Anything else? Or is that it? You're coming for the buns. Great. Community together? To learn. To worship.
To learn the future, what's going to be common. Springfield Park Baptist Church.
To learn what happens to Springfield Park Baptist Church. These are all really good and legitimate reasons to be here this morning.
To get out there, not preach, but bring them in.
That's fine, Mary. I'm happy for you to preach. What date would you like me to put you down for?
I think they don't leave.
Believe me, you never know till you try. You know, we come on a Sunday morning. We've had 2 years of that being good, or not being allowed to come, or being allowed to come, not knowing whether it's safe to come. Do we wear masks? Do we not wear masks? And actually, I thought it was a good idea to look at why we're here. So I've got another question for you. Who can tell me the vision that I gave you last week? You can start with part of it and others can help, or you can be really brave and know all of it. That God brought me here. Thank you. But that wasn't what the vision was last week. I believe God did bring me here, but, you know, that wasn't the question I asked.
To be a family and learn to care for each other.
To be a family and learn to care for each other. I gave you an overall heading. Do you remember? Yeah. Anyone remember what it was? It was. You see, you didn't even notice because it was up on there. Blessing in community. Okay, what was the next one?
Community with God.
Community with God. Next one? Community with each other. Last one?
Community with community.
Now can we have the slide? No. So, we've been focusing on community in God with the different ways that we worship. I'm whistling. Right in my ear. I'm going to just keep going. Because I'm learning, this is going to be kinder today. Because I said to you about community in God and how knowing God loves us, we then love each other and we look after each other, we encourage one another, we support one another. This needs to be a safe place to mess up. Okay? And to try new things. And that's okay. And then we can go out into the community and share that love. But we need to understand it for ourselves. And I'd said to you about it being a safe place. But one thing that I wanted to say this morning, and God wouldn't let it go, was I don't want you leaving on a Sunday morning comfortable. And I was like, God, I really don't want to say that, because if I say it, guess who's got to deliver it? But then a very wise man told me that maybe God was trying to teach me what it's like to be uncomfortable by the fact I know what he wants to say to you this morning, but I haven't got it all written down. Because believe me, I'm up here this morning really uncomfortable. But I then went to do my, this morning I had a little bit of a disaster with milk over my kitchen when I woke up this morning. And there were a number of other things. And I was like, okay, I need to have some time. I need to be with God, calm down, refocus. So I thought, I know what, I'll do my Bible reading that I've been trying to do all week. And I had the gospel section. I then had the Old Testament section, which was Lot. And Lot's wife turning to salt. And Lot's daughters being very inappropriate. And I'm like, God, this isn't really what I'm looking for right now. Because guess what? I'm even more uncomfortable now. But then on the drive in, God kind of gave me a bit of a nudge. And he was like, yeah, but what was in the gospel? And the gospel was the centurion who came to Jesus to heal his servant. And what had struck me was that Jesus said, your faith is greater than any person I've met in all of Israel. And I'm like, that is a really, really powerful statement. Your faith is greater, and I'm paraphrasing probably, than anybody in Israel. Israel was God's chosen people. Are God's chosen people. Okay? And this centurion, who hasn't had all the Jewish teaching, hasn't had all the prophecies, hasn't had the relationship with God, is there with faith of who Jesus is. And the fact that he doesn't physically need to be anywhere, he just has to say it, because he is Lord over all. Take a minute. There's a whole nation of God's people who are struggling with who Jesus is, and this one man knows it. And we can tend to be in church with our doors shut and think, we know God. We don't need to know anymore. Because actually that's what was happening in Israel. They'd been taught and they'd been taught, and had they got to the point where they were unteachable? Was a question that I started asking. Were they actually comfortable? Had they got comfortable with knowing who God was? Because this man knew the truth. And that's what I want for us. I want us to be the centurion. I want to be a group of people and in a community that know God is at the center of everything. Amen. That God has power over anything. Because it can be really easy to look at the world and think it's going mad, and where's God in all of this? Right in the middle. He is.
We must not conform to the ways of this world, we must conform to the ways of the Lord.
Indeed, amen.
Amen.
But are we comfortable? Are you comfortable right now? Never hiding behind your masks and like, please don't pick on me. Because God loves us too much to leave us where we are. Okay? He loves us where we are, but he loves us too much to leave us where we are. And that doesn't happen through being comfortable. Growing into who we are does not happen where we're nice and comfy, having a nice cup of coffee, a pastry, piece of cake. That isn't where it happens. So if you expect to walk in on a Sunday morning, and what do you, you know, you expect your songs, prayers, maybe the Bible. I'd hope the Bible. But what it isn't is those up on stage doing the worshipping for you. It's not me doing a Bible study for you. And then you have your cup of coffee and you go home. My job, thanks God, is for you to leave questioning and make you uncomfortable. Because in being uncomfortable, believe me, after this week, I can attest to this, makes you grow. Because when you're uncomfortable, there's only one place to go, and that's to God. If we're comfortable, we can tend to forget about him. So I want to make you uncomfortable. So I think you should expect something very different when you walk through a door on Sunday morning. There, I was given a very good Eugene Peterson quote last night. Worship is the strategy by which we interrupt our preoccupation with ourselves and attend to the presence of God. When you walk through the door on a Sunday morning, do you expect to meet God here? Yeah? Good. Because that should be our expectation. And that's not comfortable. The presence of God is not comfortable. The presence of God is uncomfortable. But guess what? You're amongst family. And that's okay. And this is going to get messy. Believe me. There are probably going to be lots of tears, lots of yelling. And that's fine. I've got no problem with that. And when we start bringing people, or God starts bringing people from the community in here, it's going to get even worse. Because guess what? They don't know the rules. Yeah. I was just about to, my next thing to say was, you can like the rules all you like. I'm not here to keep them. I'm going to break them. I'm sorry. If that makes you uncomfortable, because guess what? That's what I'm here for. I'm here to make you uncomfortable. I'm here to rub you up the wrong way. Because if you come to me and say, I disagree with what you said, fine, I'll talk about it with you. But if you come to me and go, that made me really uncomfortable, I'll be like, praise God. Because that is where we learn. That is where we turn to God. You can do your Bible study at home, okay? I'm here to challenge you. I'm here to say, I know God loves you and has made you greater than how you live now. I know that because it's exactly the same for me. So I am not saying, hi, I'm all perfect and I know exactly what's going on. Believe me, I don't, because I'm standing up here going, God, okay, what next? You are going to be uncomfortable. He is going to push you to new places. That means opening up to one another, being real with one another. That means if your life is falling around you and you need someone to pray for you, pick up the phone and ask someone. Go, could you just pray for me quickly? Because I'm drowning right now. Life's difficult right now. I need God where I am and what's going on. Because if we're doing church together properly, guess what? You're going to need that. You're going to need brothers and sisters standing with you, encouraging you, supporting you. So I thought that today's preach was all about encouraging one another, supporting one another, being real with one another. So I went to the Bible, good place to start, don't you think? For The encouragement verses. So, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you are sinful, unbelieving hearts that turn away from the living God, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. Sounds good, doesn't it? Let's all encourage one another every day so we don't sin. The thing is, every single encouragement passage, it comes after a warning of sin, deceitfulness, how you can be dragged to hell, you name it. There's some nasty stuff before these verses. Because we live in a nasty world. But we have an awesome God who saves us. But we get distracted. How many of you have sat down to study the Bible or something and the phone's gone or your kids need you or... I can't be the only one. Please tell me I'm not the only one. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. A couple of hands going up there. We need to stay focused. We need to stay uncomfortable and grow into who God has made us to be. So when you come to church, I'll know when half of you don't turn up next Sunday. That you're not up for being uncomfortable. Today is all about being uncomfortable. God is pushing us and stretching us as a church. And I'm excited. Because there's no limit. God has no limit. And each of us have a part to play in that. So, I'd like you to talk on your tables about what it is you have that you think you can offer church. And if you think you've got nothing, come and speak to me, because that ain't true. But also, speak to those on your table. Normally, the people you spend time with will be able to tell you what your gift is. Quite often, it's something you really don't think about. So, Mark and I, ever since we've been married, have had pretty much an open house. We love people coming in. We do hospitality just because we do it. Never crossed my mind that was unusual. Never crossed my mind that that's not what everybody does. Even though my mum constantly said to me, "How do you live like this?" Especially after she was having dinner with us one night and somebody walked into the house, sat themselves in the living room while we were having dinner in the dining room. And my mum's like, "Guys just walks into the living room." Yeah, we know. No, you don't understand. There's somebody that's just walked into the house. So I'm like, yeah, he's got a key. Okay. And it made my mum so uncomfortable. But I think it was the first time I actually realised other people don't live like this. But I didn't know. It took somebody else to say to me, this is actually a gift. Having that attitude to your home is a gift. It's not something that happens naturally. It's not something that everybody has. Now you can get it. Come spend some time in our house. You'll find out. And it's messy. One day I answered the door to a young man. I'm just looking at you. I am allowed to tell this, all right? So, see, this is what happens when God doesn't give me everything for the day. One day, we had a number of young single guys, students and early 20s, so in first-time employment and everything. He used to just turn up, have a home-cooked meal. You know, some of them didn't. One guy that we had came round one day and went, I need to buy curtains, but I don't know what to do. Would you mind coming with me? That kind of thing. So one day this guy turns up at our house. We're like, hi, come in. Would you mind going in the front room? We're in the middle of an argument and we just need to finish it off. ability to say, yes, come in and be all kind of nice and smiley. But there's that underlying atmosphere, isn't there, when you're having a row and you haven't quite finished. He's now married. But he's seen that being married is not all beds of roses, because we were honest. We turned around and he's like, I'm quite happy to leave. And we're like, look, it's entirely up to you. You're welcome to, we'll bring you coffee in a second, but we just need to finish this off. But it's being real. I mean, how many of you went into marriage and thought it was a nice little bed of roses and nobody warned you that actually your beloved who you worship can be a real pain to live with? We hide that bit. We don't say, look, in reality, I may love you, but some of you, maybe all of you, might drive me insane at some point or other. And vice versa. Okay? That is okay. It doesn't mean I don't love you or care for you or bring you before God on a daily basis. It just means it's real. Because none of us are perfect. We're all going to make mistakes. Me, lots. Just so you know, warning you now. So we need to be real with each other. Okay? So I'm going to give you some time. I want you to talk about your gifts and what it is you think you've got to bring church. And maybe ask people on your table what they think you've got, and you might be surprised. Okay? So I'm going to give you a couple of minutes. I can grab a mouthful of coffee. And I'm going to ask some of you to share. You do not have to, okay? It's completely up to you. But have some time together and talk about it, please. For those of you at home, please don't exclude yourself. Pray and write some things down. So don't just switch off. Okay. I'm assuming the microphone is. Okay. There sounds like there's some fun tables to be on in here. I'm assuming the mic is for when I ask people. Can somebody volunteer to take the mic round to people who are talking? All right. Thank you very much. Okay. Does anyone want to share what they found out? It looks like it's right, actually driving Mark away.
Not that big a question.
Testing. Yeah, right. Caring, hospitality, caring, making people laugh, a people person, passionate, and perfect. No.
So you've done the whole table there. So lots of hospitality and caring. Okay, and passionate, and people. Okay. Anyone else? Sorry? Yeah, you could do your own if you... Is anyone else going to share? You don't have to.
Okay, I'll share. I like to bring spiritual richness and optimism to the church.
Cool. We'll have some of that. Thank you very much. Anyone else?
We also spoke about Ming and Winky's experience in Saudi Arabia and living as a Christian, worshipping as a Christian in an alien environment and what it's like. So that was an interesting experience to share.
So it's experience to bring to others, yeah?
Yeah.
Brilliant. It's interesting, isn't it? What are the jobs you think that they do in around the church? Because not one of you said you're good at cleaning the loo. Not, you know, we have a great sound and visual team behind us.
We don't have to do anything, sorry, we don't have to do anything because Alison does it all.
Except that she's not anymore. Okay. This is what I'm asking you.
We're going to share.
Yeah. We all have different jobs. And we have different gifts. We are in church to be church together, to support each other, but also to bring the gifts God has given us. So my husband does what we call trestle.
Trestle.
It's an expression that's used about the governance that's behind church. So making sure that we are legal in our safeguarding, that we are legal in our health and safety. They all sound mundane, boring jobs. They are. They bore me senseless. Mark loves it. Give Mark a constitution and his face lights up. Or a policy document. He loves that kind of thing. Whereas as soon as anyone says anything to me about that, I'm like, please don't ask me that. Who is good at organising? Look, loads of you. Excellent. Who's good at admin? Another couple of hands up. Are you aware this church doesn't have a church secretary? Yeah, we are we? And so is Chris. Are you aware that you are a church with three deacons? Three.
Two.
Alison. She is. By her job, she was elected. Under the Constitution, by her job. See? Having I checked the Constitution. And I asked the expert on constitutions. Yeah, you got three. But you've no church secretary. You've got youth and community covered. Got treasurer covered, who is also doing secretary and bookings. And so, those of you that have organisational skills, I'd like you to go away and pray and see what God's asking of you and what he's asking you to be uncomfortable and volunteer in church for. You're good at Hoovering. Great. Come and speak to me. Well, happily have you hoovering the floor, especially after Sundays. Okay. How about, any of you really good at reading? Enjoy doing reading?
Yeah.
Excellent. Then send me an email and I'll put you on the Bible reading rota. Who can boil a kettle? Oh, come on, there's more than one. You're telling me none of the rest of you can boil a kettle, and they're all like, no, we know what you're going to say if we tell you you can boil a kettle. You come on. Right. I should have learned by now, shouldn't I? Yeah, I can boil water, I can't boil a kettle. Okay. Who arranges flowers? I was going to say, you don't turn to one person. Because yes, Fran does amazing flowers. But I bet there's others of you here who can. I bet there is. Excellent, Otto. Otmar, I'm looking forward to seeing them. Just because somebody is doing a job in church does not mean that you cannot help, that you cannot do the same thing. That person probably would really like a break. Okay, you've been in a church, as a church, you have been surviving. And God doesn't want that for you. God wants you to grow. And there are gifts in this room that God has put there and is calling you to serve the church. And if you're sitting there going, no, he doesn't mean me. I'm too young. I'm too old. I don't get on with this. I don't do that. And God is calling you to grow. And that is understanding the gifts you are given are for this church. We are given gifts and talents in order to grow the church and support the church. So, as I say, doing Bible readings, praying, leading services, playing music. Just because Alison plays the piano doesn't mean she's the only one. Or Fran playing the guitar and singing. I'm sure there's more of you that can sing. I know there are because I can hear you. Do you have spare time during the week that you would happily donate to do odd jobs? And we already know Marion's up for preaching, but who else? Who else would like to have a go? Because unless you try, you may be sitting there thinking, you know what? I could do that. Or, I wonder what it's like. You are in a family who care and love for you. Have a go. You're not going to know until you try. And that's the lady standing here who had to preach on pigs for the first time while being assessed. Pigs. You know, the legion of pigs. So, no, the legion into the pigs. So, yeah, that was my very first preach ever, which was assessed for my ministerial recognition. It did turn all right. It did turn out all right. And I will always remember I got a beautiful letter from someone in the congregation afterwards who said she didn't think she could learn anything new. And discovered she could. And I was like, you're not the only one. But actually, there's another gift, is encouragement. I have really appreciated those of you who send me text messages, emails, saying how you felt about the services. It means a lot. So, cleaning, flowers, crafts. You might be an ideas person. Drop me an email. Not saying I'll do it, but drop me an email.
Well, I like reciting programs, you know, when I'm coming on Thursday.
Yeah, definitely. doing drinks, making cakes, making food, giving. Are you sitting there thinking, I work hard, I don't have time? But through working hard, God has financially blessed you. This is a gift, and also one for the church. Running a church costs money. Mission costs money. And we don't like to talk about it, do we? Well, guess what? We're going to be talking about it a lot today. Believe me. And it wasn't arranged this way either, that this was the preach to fit with the church meeting. But it's also a gift. Giving is a gift. A sacrificial giving is also a gift. Do I give up that extra cup of coffee to buy that cup of coffee for someone else? Do I give up, I don't know, more coffee to give more to church? Do you keep hold of a car that's not quite so new because God's asking you to give a little bit more for something that's happening in church? We are a family. Each person has something different to offer. We are a body. You all know the Bible reading about the body and ears and arms, and we're all different. I'm not asking anybody to be something they're not. I'm asking you to go before God and ask him, what is it that I am offering this church? Why have you put me in this church? What are the gifts I have that you are calling me to give in this church? Because you don't just come to church, sit here, listen to me babble on for a bit and go home. Sing a few songs that you may like or dislike. You might like me to do older songs. You might want me to do more new songs.
We should all get involved.
But yes, Arthur, you're right. We should all be involved. I am not asking you to do someone else's gift. So if you're sitting there going, yeah, but I don't have any money, or I can't make coffee, not that people will want to drink anyway, then don't do it. Because you have been given a gift, well, more than one gift, but you've been given gifts. Don't try and be somebody you're not. I've learned that one. Don't make me a church secretary. The church will soon end up in a mess. I am not organised. I can't spell. Don't ask me to be treasurer either. That's probably not a good idea either. We all have different giftings. So I'm not asking, I don't want you to feel guilty and think, oh, she's telling me I have to do the X, Y, Z. No, I'm not. What I'm saying is, go to God and ask, what is it you are asking me to do in this family? What have I got to offer this family? And I'm going to keep asking you. And I'm going to keep challenging you. But also know, if you come to me and go, I'm not sure, but I'd like to try to preach. Brilliant. I'd like to do prayers in church. Brilliant. Like to do some readings. Great. I'd like to clean the toilet. Excellent. Okay. And they do change. So just because you've always done something doesn't mean you stay doing it. It might be time to stop and lay it down because somebody else needs to pick it up. And it's their blessing in serving their way at what God's calling to do. So when I first started, it was sitting down with Alison going, no, you're not doing that anymore, and you're not doing that anymore either. And sometimes it's tough, isn't it? But who's going to do it? I have absolutely no clue, but I can guarantee if you stop doing it, somebody else will. Have I made you uncomfortable enough yet? Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. We are God's family. We have been invited in. And he so wants to bless us. He loves us far too much to leave us where we are. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you invite each and every one of us to be your sons and daughters. Thank you that you pour blessing into us. You pour giftings into us. Speak to us, Lord, I pray, to each and every person here and at home. Reveal how you're working within them, what gifts you are drawing out of them. For your glory, let it all be about you, Lord, and not about us, because you reign on high over all of us. You are mighty. And you're just awesome. And thank you that we can be part of that. Thank you for the great adventure that lies ahead of Springfield Park. May we walk in everything you have offered us. In the name of your Son. Amen. Shall we sing some more?
Let's stand. We're going to sing this hymn together.